Christmas, Rock Church. Good to see everybody. Happy Sunday. So glad you're with us. My name is Travis Gibson, and I am one of the pastors that serves on the leadership team. I want to welcome everybody, all of our campuses that are joining us. Good to be with you. Good to see you. Shout out to San Marcos and City Heights, El Cajon, Chula Vista, our Oahu campus, Point Loma, everybody joining online. Why don't you greet your family, wish them a Merry Christmas, clap your hands, say hello. It's good to be together today. Hey, we are in the Christmas season, and we're about 2.5 weeks away from Christmas Eve. Can you believe that? Oh my goodness, how did that happen so fast? If I can challenge you and encourage you, be thinking about who you're going to be inviting every week this Christmas season. And we don't got to just wait to get to Christmas Eve. If you brought someone today, God bless you. Matter of fact, how many of you came to church in the last whatever season because somebody invited you? A friend or a family, a person? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Me too. Someone invited me. That is still the number one way people come to church. We can market, we can social media, we can, you know, put out those little dudes on the side that do this and stuff in the hands, but it still, the number one way that people get to church is because you told them about it. Amen? Yeah. So be thinking about who you're inviting, because we're going to have all the vibes this December. If you saw in your lobby, there's probably a hot cocoa bar area. There's some photo ops where you can take pictures with your family. Anybody dress up for church today to take pictures with their family? Anybody? Not really? Okay. Yeah, that's a vibe right there. That's a vibe. We can't get the camera on you, but if we could, that is a vibe. Their hats and sweaters are jingling all the way right now, the whole thing. And so, yeah, give them a hand for that commitment. She's super excited. He's like, I'm just here. But she picked it out. Glad you're here. We're going to have some fun. So be thinking about who you're going to invite to Christmas. Today, just want to do a special shout out and celebration. It is our City Heights campus 10-year anniversary. Come on, let's celebrate and just honor them for 10 years of faithful ministry. Hallelujah. Wow, what have you done for 10 years? Man, 10 years is incredible. I want to say God bless you and thank you to their whole community, to Pastor Ryan and his wife, Kelsey Dillon. They're leading that campus, done a great job. Actually, the first 5 years, shout out to Pastor Micah and his wife, Dee Dee Whitley, did a great job, handed off to Ryan and Kelsey. They've been just doing a wonderful job. So again, happy 10-year, one more time, just to celebrate them. That's a big milestone. Today, we're kicking off a brand new sermon series entitled, The Promise of Christmas. The Promise of Christmas, and it's going to be about four messages. Today is the first one, and then you got two more leading up to Christmas Eve. It's going to sneak up on us fast. But the promise of Christmas is prophetic, it's personal, it's perfect, and it's also practical. There's something about this promise that we're going to talk about today that we can actually take with us and apply into our lives and bring home with us. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today, the promise of Christmas. Would you bow your heads and pray together with me, and we'll jump into God's word today. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for this season. Thank you for sending your son Jesus over 2,000 years ago, where he stepped out of glory and out of heaven and humbled himself as a child into our mess. We thank you for that. What a blessing, what a miracle, what love you demonstrated for us. Holy Spirit, would you move in every room today? Speak through me and help your word come alive in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Anybody listening to Christmas music yet? Kind of got the radio going. How about KIXC 96.5? Anybody on that jam? No? Okay. KYXY 96.5. My kids already know, and they enjoy the music. And usually this radio station here in San Diego, they get it going. Like December 1, it's like, da, 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 da. I mean, all the music. This year, they couldn't wait for December. They started early on Thanksgiving. And my daughter said, Dad, just try it. Just turn it there. They're not playing it yet. And so Thanksgiving, sure enough, it was the most wonderful time of the year. It was already playing. It was already happening. And all the vibes of December is kind of what a lot of us look forward to. And I was thinking, man, if I was going to write a movie about the perfect Christmas, I would certainly have that song, or maybe Shalom, give us a little something to set the mood. If we were going to have the perfect Christmas living room, there it is. Are you feeling that? Just kind of sitting that Christmas vibe, the perfect holiday music, but you don't just need the soundtrack. You got to have the fireplace. There it is. Man, it's already feeling cozy already. Got the presents and the stockings and got the vibes and man, but you got to have the stocking, the presents, the fireplace, the music, and maybe a little bit of snow. I'm just kidding. You're like, oh, he's about to do it. He's about to do it today at church. We're in San Diego. We don't got that. Maybe for you, it's, man, the perfect Hallmark romance is what you're looking forward to and trying to get that proposal. Hey. Still got 2.5 weeks, fellas. Okay? Go to Jared's. Oh, the vibes. And here's the problem with the music and the most wonderful time of the year and the fireplace and the presents and the Hallmark movie romance engagements. For some people, if I'm just being honest with you, it is not the most wonderful time of the year. And we live in San Diego. In fact, we don't get snow. You know that. And if you have a fireplace, you don't even use it anyways because it's 70 degrees today. And maybe you didn't get the engagement. Maybe you, unfortunately, got the breakup. Appreciate it, Shalom. Thank you. Give Shalom a hand. That's our reality. And Christmas tends to promise this perfect picture and lifetime movie scenario, and the guy who's a farmer moves into town looking for his lost love and the Clydesdale horses and it's snowing and the hot cocoa vibes. But here's what I know for sure is that Christmas was never meant to promise perfection. It was meant to promise presence. And I don't mean the type that you wrap. I'm talking about God with us, God's presence. Christmas was never meant to promise any type of perfection. It was always a promise for His presence. And the world may try to offer and promise magic in December, but I'm so grateful that God promises the Messiah. Amen. And so the question that we're asking today is, what promise are you holding on to? What promise are you grasping onto? Are you looking for the perfect Christmas experience, or will you be holding on to the promise of His presence? If you hold on to His presence, it doesn't matter what you go through, you can always be fulfilled. If you're grasping for this perfect holiday season, you will be let down and disappointed. Christmas was never meant to promise perfection, but always promise His presence. And we read about this, and I know this to be true in the Gospels. If you got your scripture with me today or with you today, would you turn there to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 18 to 25. And Matthew is the first gospel account or first account of the life and story of Jesus. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In Matthew chapter 1, we read the account of the birth of Jesus. We find the promise of Jesus that we're going to read through today in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is what the story says. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the who? Holy Spirit. Just making sure that you're paying attention and reading your Bible. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the who? The Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. How many have heard this story before? Read Matthew chapter 1. You know the story of Christmas. You've heard the Feliz Navidad narrative in Matthew chapter 1. Well, a little bit teachy here this morning. I'm going to give you some nuggets, and if you like a little bit of background, you're going to enjoy this. And if you're thinking, man, get to the entertaining stuff, hold on with me for a minute. But some things we pull out of Matthew chapter 1. In verse 18, it says, Mary is pregnant, but who is she pregnant by? The Holy Spirit. And maybe like me, I went to an all-boys Catholic school, and I heard a theology and doctrine of something that's called the Immaculate Conception. Anybody ever heard that before? Maybe you have that background, that Roman Catholic background, and that Immaculate Conception, it kind of gets thrown around. Oh, this Immaculate Conception. It sounds incredible. But the word immaculate means without sin, without stain. And so there is this other doctrine about Mary that says that she was qualified to give birth to Jesus because she herself was immaculate without sin. And as a Protestant Christian evangelical church, we would say, uh-oh, wait a minute. But we know that all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so even Mary, later in her life, when Jesus is on the cross, looks up and calls him Lord, saying, even I, the mother of Jesus, need Emmanuel, God with us. And so we got to just be careful as we're reading through the scriptures to not deify anybody else except Almighty God, Jesus himself. Another little interesting teaching point in verse 9, it says that they were engaged, but also says Joseph was her husband. I don't know if you're engaged, but you shouldn't be calling your engaged fella or lady husband or wife. That's your fiance. So wait a minute, what's happening here? Well, there's an old Jewish tradition culturally where the whole process has two parts. There's the betrothal, that's the pledge or the engagement, and then there's the wedding feast. And so what you have here is the first part is that Mary and Joseph have a betrothal. There's a legal binding agreement that's been made. That's my guy. That's my girl. But he's found out by the angel. Uh-oh, you are not the father. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Something's weird here. And so he decides, you know what, in light of all the news, because we haven't had the public celebration, but we're supposed to be connected to each other, I'm going to divorce her quietly. Why would you do that? I mean, other than the obvious, because everybody knows that Joseph and Mary have had an agreement, a law-binding agreement. And then they also see, wait a minute, you haven't celebrated publicly, but yet she's walking around, and you know, it's kind of hard to hide the bump. Come on, somebody. You can't just be hiding the bump for 9 straight months. And people would begin to see Mary potentially and look at Joseph and go, whoa, 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 what y'all doing? What y'all doing in the sheets over here? Y'all married? We know what's happening. And so they could have stoned her. They could have killed her. And they could have stoned and killed Joseph. But Joseph decides, I'm still going to love her. And I have plans. You don't think Joseph had Christmas plans? You don't think Joseph wanted to hang up the lights with the little nativity scene out in front and have the little music and have his Hallmark moment with Mary and the presents and just, the snow? No, he had plans, but he says, you know what? God's plans are better than my plans. And I wonder how many people that God is poking right now saying, I have come to interrupt your plans because mine are better. God's way is better. God's plans are better, even when they don't make sense. And so Joseph receives this word from the angel, and we find out that the story goes on, that he eventually delivers on his promise. In verse 22, it says, the Lord makes a promise. How do we know that? Because it reads in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said. Any dads at church today? Raise your hand, dads. Any dads? Hey, your kids ever come up to you and Vern ever say, hey, dad, you said. Dad, you said. And what are they saying? You promised. Okay, my kids come up to me all the time and say, Dad, you said you'd take us to Dollar Tree. Okay, and we let them go wild at Dollar Tree, okay? Like, listen, you want to go loose and get 7 things? Let's go. 7 toys. I was last year. This year, it's like the $2 tree and the $3 tree. It's expensive, okay? It's different these days. We're getting 3 items at the dollar store now. But they'll come to me and go, no, you said that this afternoon we're going, and what are they doing? They're holding me accountable to my word and saying, Dad, you promised. And God has a promise in his word. And here it is in verse 23. Here's the promise. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Emmanuel is not Jesus' new name. Watch this. Emmanuel is describing his new mission. His name is Jesus, but it's unpacking his mission. He will come down in the form of a child, and he will pursue us in love. He will be God, Emmanuel, God with us. He won't be far. He won't be distant. He won't be on the way. He will be a God that is with us. It is his mission. The promise of Christmas is not perfection. The promise of Christmas is God's presence. Emmanuel, God with us. God's promise is threefold in Emmanuel. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, Emmanuel is God with us. God with us. The one who is with us is fully God, completely God, and all that God is. Jesus is not just a great teacher. He's not just a little baby in a manger. He doesn't grow up to be just a moral leader, not just a prophet. He is not an angel. He is God himself stepping into human history. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the NIV translation, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Someone shout Word. Word. Campuses, shout Word. 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 And John, as he writes this gospel, loves to call Jesus the Word. He's the living Word. He's the active Word. He is the embodiment of the Word. We read the Word. We get Jesus on our mind and heart. And so John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wait a minute. Jesus was there in the beginning? He didn't just show up in the manger. He was always there. He humbled himself to become the baby in the manger. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You go down about 13 verses later in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's Christmas right there. He humbles himself. He steps into our story. Here's why this matters. If Jesus is not God, then Christmas is just a cute story. But because he is God, he has the power to save, and he has the authority to forgive, and he has the strength to carry our burdens and your burdens. He is sovereign over every storm and situation. He embodies all the attributes and all the names of Almighty God. Now, historians like to debate and go back and forth, and theologians go back and forth deciding how many names are there of God in the Bible, and some say 50, and some say 100. I've heard most people say around 80-ish names, and you can go and pick them out, but I brought just a short list of some of my favorite 25 names of the God that is with us. One of the names of God is Yahweh, the self-existent, eternal one. He is Abba, Father. He is Elohim, Creator God, Strong One. He is El Elyon, God Most High. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Adonai, Lord Master. El Olam, Everlasting God. He is El Roy, the God who sees. He is El Gabor, Mighty God. He is Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Yahweh Sabbath, the Lord of hosts of armies. Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh Sedekenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Yahweh Elohim, Lord God. Yahweh Kana, the jealous God. El Berith, God of the covenant. El Deot, God of knowledge. Ayer Asher, Ayi, I am who I am. El Chai, the living God. El Sali, God my rock. When God promises Emmanuel, come on somebody, we get all of that. All of that is who we get. Every single bit of Almighty God belongs to us. Every bit of them. Not just the little boy. Not just the cute figurine. We get Almighty God. This past week, I had a little shoulder procedure, and I've shared before that several years ago, I had something done on this shoulder, and I couldn't lift the arm, and I had to taper back some of my activities, and had a procedure, and I described it to my wife as the most devastating, painful experience out there. And she goes, brother, I had two kids. Don't tell me nothing. And I said, respect the queen. But it was pretty bad, babe. It was pretty bad. It felt like they were stabbing me with a machete in the arm. And maybe I have a low tolerance for pain, but over the past 6 months, now it hopped over to this shoulder. And I can't raise my arm that high, and it hurts, and I had to change my workouts and different things, and it got to the point where I had to go see the doctor. And they did the MRI, and they did the x-ray, and so this past Thursday, I had an outpatient procedure, which basically means I'm not staying there, and nobody put me under anesthesia. They did some local anesthetic, and I told the doctor, you better hook a brother up and put that on thick, because I'm not trying to feel nothing. I've been here before, okay? I've been here before. You're heavy-handed. Okay, put some stuff on here. Shout out Dr. Han. Appreciate you, brother. God bless you. And he sat me down, and I said, you got to talk me through this. We got to have a conversation because it's just too much. And before I got in there, I knew the pain. I remembered how bad it hurt, and I sat in the car, and I prayed, and I just said, Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha, my healer. God, you will be El Sali, my rock and my strength. And I just began repeating that, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, my healer. And I went in and I got the procedure, and it was bad. I was peeling out the seat, and I was trying to get out, and they had to buckle me down and hold me, and it was terrible. It was terrible. I cried a little bit, and then I went to the car, and I got in the car. But can I tell you, when I walked out, the minute I started walking out, I literally felt no pain. The pain was gone. God was Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And I got to my car, and I was doing this with my shoulder, and I couldn't believe it. And I sat down, and I sat there, and I promise you, and I'm not a big crier, but I began to literally weep and thank God and say, God, you are who you say you are. You are my rock. You are my strength. You are El Sali. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. You are the great physician. And I don't care if you use small physicians, but you are the great physician. I began to pray and thank God. And I was just weeping. And I know that, I don't know if you came today in pain. I don't know if you came needing something today, but the same God who was called Emmanuel is coming with all of that. And he is your healer. And he is your great physician. And he is your rock and your strength in the midst of what you're going through. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to be all of that for you. And matter of fact, I just speak healing today over our church. If you have something that hurts or some kind of pain or some kind of situation, I speak the name Emmanuel, the name of Jesus over every single person in this house. Under the sound of my voice, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. He is Jehovah Rapha. Let's give him praise in expectation that he's your healer today. Come on, receive that for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through. Everyone's going through something. And this may not be the most wonderful time of the year, but the God who breathed the universe in existence is near, and no matter what you're going through in December, he is ready, he is able, he is willing to do something about your situation. You and I are not walking around with a weak Savior. We have the Almighty God with us. That's God's promise at Christmas. God with us. Emmanuel is number two, God with us. I'm blowing your mind with my points right now. He's God with us, and he's God with us. With means more than near. It means he's involved, he's engaged, he's walking beside, he is carrying when it's needed. It's his presence is personal, it is active, it is ongoing. It's not, he was with me. No, he is with me. It is active and personal, it's happening today. The scriptures tell us so in Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 9. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Last time I checked, wherever means wherever. Where have you been lately? Just know that God was there too. Isaiah 41 verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And Psalm 23 verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, anybody? Going through a dark valley right now? I want you to hold on to Psalm 23, verse 4, because even though you walk through the darkest valley, the psalmist says, I don't have to fear evil, Lord, for you are with me. in Matthew 28, verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's pretty clear. We don't need a translation or another interpretation that God goes with us everywhere. My kids have these little Jesus figurines. I don't know if you've seen them, these little things you can order, or maybe they're floating around your house, and little baby Jesus plastic figurines, and we have them in the office, and some people have them on their desk, and my son had one in his little toy thing the other day, and there's his toys. Oh, there's Jesus, and he pulled it out, and matter of fact, Jesus has actually been with me this whole time I've been up here. Here he is. Isn't that cool? What's wild is you probably didn't know that Jesus has been with us this entire time. Pastor's got jokes today. Is this cute? Yeah, I think it's cute, but don't miss the message. Don't miss the message that God is with us everywhere you go. God is with us. He didn't come just to be around us. He came to be with us, to walk in and with our human pain, in your brokenness, in your disappointment, in the we had another miscarriage. He was right there. In the I lost my job, he is still with you in the middle of the job loss. In the middle of the marriage tension and the frustration and the my kids are far from God, he is still with you and still pursuing them. God is Emmanuel with us. I love this poem. If you've been around church for any number of years, or maybe you had a person in your life that loved the Lord, they read this poem to you. It's called Footprints in the Sand. And it says this: one night a man had a dream, and he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and one to the Lord. When the last scene of his life shot before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints, and he realized that this was at the lowest and the saddest times of his life. This always bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about his dilemma. Lord, you told me when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I am aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I need you most, you leave me. And the Lord whispered, my precious child, I love you, and I will never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. How many people at church today at one of our campuses at City Heights after 10 years can testify that God has carried you in one season of your life? He was with you. He carried you. He didn't leave you. That was him the whole way, even in the midst of the pain. With the pain, he was there every time. In the anxiety, he was with you. The financial pressure, with you. Loneliness, with you. And so while Hallmark Christmas culture promises the best moment of your life, Jesus promises his presence, even if it's the most difficult month of your life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Here's the third thing. Emmanuel is God with us. He's with all of us. Emmanuel is not just a promise and a gift for the elite, not just for the super spiritual or the well put together, Sunday best dressed. He is for all of us. Are you sure, Travis? Because you weren't hanging out with me last week. I'm sure. I would put my life on it that Jesus, Emmanuel, came at Christmas for all of us. Even with what I'm going through, even with what I've done and said, even with what is done to me and said to me, he came for me. Absolutely. He came for the broken. He came for the wounded. He came for the overlooked. He came for the addicted person. He came for the assaulted and abused person. He came for the ordinary person. He came from the misunderstood person. He came for the sinner lost in secret sin. Jesus came for real people, not for perfect people. In Luke chapter 2, another account of the Christmas story in verse 8 through 10, it says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I am bringing you good news of great joy that will be for who? For all the people. for all of us. I don't have to find it anywhere else. I just know that Jesus came for me. And I have to hold on to this, and you got to hold on to this, because the devil will tell you that he didn't come for you. And the devil will push you and prod you and bring you back to old memories and old things and old habits and old temptations. And he'll tell you, your family isn't perfect. He didn't come for you this season. He'll show you images of your household and how chaotic it is and tell you, Jesus didn't come for you this Christmas. You should just pretend and do the perfect play. Just do that version. But don't receive the promise that God is with us. Maybe for them, but you're not a part of us. He says, you're addicted, you're too lost. But here's what I know to be true. God came for all of us. Emmanuel is God. He is with all of us, every single one of us. And you don't have to qualify for his presence. All you got to do, look up here, is receive his presence. But receive it. Don't just come and touch it. And step in the glory and step out. And come on one Sunday, and then step back into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then come back Sunday. No, I mean receive Emmanuel with all your life. Here's the best way I can put it. My daughter this past week goes, Dad, am I going to be in your sermon? They're still at the age where they like being in my sermons. And I said, sweet, I don't think so. I don't have anything that makes sense. And then Thursday came, and you know, go back to me in the car, and I'm just crying out to God, and he's healed me, and my wife calls, and what's up, babe? How y'all doing? You good? You good? And she went on a field trip with Anaya, who's in the fourth grade, and they went to the Cabrillo National Monument, which I hadn't even heard of before, but it's here in Point Loma. And yeah, I know, right? It's just like, yeah, it's down the street. It's supposed to be a big deal. I made a monument. There's a man named Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo. He was a Spanish explorer that in the year 1942 sailed from Spain and rolled into the San Diego Harbor on a ship that looks something like this. This is a replica of the San Salvador. And this is one of three ships that he carried into the harbor of San Diego in 1542. And he finds our harbor. And he brought 250 men with him. Why did he bring so many men? Because you can't really fit that many men on that one deck. But they would bring as many guys as possible. Why? Because they knew that the seas would be rough. And they would get sick and they would get injured and they would get tossed overboard. And matter of fact, even Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo himself, after discovering this harbor, one year later on Christmas Eve of all the season, it's the most wonderful time of the year, breaks his leg, gets an infection, and a few days later, he dies. My wife calls me, and she goes, hey, we're doing this tour. They're giving us this kind of, information about the ships, and you're not going to believe it. And I said, what's going on? She's like, guess how many beds were on the boat? I said, I don't know. And she goes, two. And she goes, now, Travis, guess who the beds went to? And I said, I don't know. And she goes, the captain. And who do you think the second bed went to? And I don't know. The priest. And she told me, I went, I got it. I got it. Because these men are facing an expedition that is unknown. They're about to go and set into life in a place that is not guaranteed. They're about to go on sea and sail with weathers that are not guaranteed, probably not safe, no perfect conditions. And they're saying, I don't want to go there unless Emmanuel, God, goes with us. And so give the priest the bed. Are you good, pastor? Do you need anything? Can I get you some food? I'm going to hang out over here. I'm good. I'm out on the rope. I'm fine. As long as God is good. Because the priest represented the man to God and represents God to the man. And so if God is with us, come on, somebody. I can go through bad weather, stormy seas, any conditions, as long as I have Emmanuel, a God that is with us. That's the promise of Christmas. Where's Shalom? We're going to close out. Bring him out. That's the promise of Christmas. That's the promise of Christmas. That's his name, by the way. That's Shalom, everybody. Give Shalom a hand as he plays. No perfect sailing through life, but his presence every step of the way and through every storm. And so the closing question is the same question that I asked in the beginning. What promise are you holding on to this Christmas? are you grabbing for perfect? Because the world will be happy to give you magic, but God wants to give you a Messiah. And so I'm not grabbing for perfect. I am clinging with desperation to his presence. And over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus, to live the life that you and I were supposed to live. Also that he can grow up and eventually die the death that you and I were supposed to die in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he proved to everybody that he is the Son of God and that he has the power to forgive your sin. And if we would just receive Emmanuel, our sins are forgiven. And you can be given a new life here on this earth and one day in glory with Emmanuel himself, Almighty God. So receive him today. Get all of him today. Don't just step into glory. Receive all that God has for you today. I want you to bow your heads and pray with me as we close. If you need to receive Emmanuel today, maybe for the first time, no one looking around, no one moving around, but just in a holy, sacred moment, if you need to receive Emmanuel, Jesus, as the Lord of your life, in a minute I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's not a fancy prayer, but it is a powerful prayer, and it is for all people. And so maybe you need to recommit your life and say, I've just been playing around. I've been coming on Sunday, but this isn't real to me. It hasn't transformed my life. I feel good when I come, but I leave and go back. Receive him today. Let him be God, Almighty God, with us. You are the us that Emmanuel came for at Christmas. So pray this prayer with me under the quiet of your heart. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you love me and that you lived and died for me. You were born also that you could die for me. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Change my life. Make me a new person. And Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, help me to live a new life in a new way. Help me to repent from the old life. Empower me to run towards your ways and your will. Thank you for loving me. I love you. Now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer or anything similar to confess your life to Jesus, to recommit your life to the Lord, to receive Emmanuel today, on the count of three, I'd love for you to lift your hand just so I could see you, and I want to pray a blessing over you. On the count of three, nice and high at all of our campuses, hands going up. One, two, three, nice and high. God bless you. 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 We see you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. All across the room, God bless you. Campuses, we see you. God bless you. You can put them down. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every single hand. Every single yes to Emmanuel today, Lord. May that be an act of worship. And God, would you fill them today, right now. Fall on them. Change them forever. Make them more and more like your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, make us like Jesus. May we live closely with Emmanuel. Thank you that we're not clinging to perfection. We're clinging to your presence today. It's in your matchless name, in Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand today and celebrate every soul and every person that said yes to Jesus.